think everybody wanted to get hammered after this the weekend into this doubleheader was just brutal for the Boston Red Sox. Maybe a season killer if it wasn't already dead. It's Christian Arcan here, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons, and we are joined in studio by the incomparable Rob Bradford. How you doing, Bradford?
Yay, baseball. Let's go.
Is the season over? Are they dead?
I don't know. All I know is that, about as we speak, Rich Hill is probably holding a press conference and either wearing a McFarland t-shirt or a Baseballs and Boring t-shirt. I don't know which one.
Or both?
Or both, maybe. Maybe a hat
or
and a t-shirt.
Or a sticker and a t-shirt?
There's a lot going on. It's like a NASCAR driver.
Mm. Yes. And it's funny you mention that, Rob, because Rob Bradford is presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com.
So you don't say. He brought up the sponsor?
Weird.
He does a fine job.
Our
friends at McFarland.
I love McFarland.
They sponsored my Patriots videos a couple years.
I love them.
They're the best.
They're a good hang, too, man.
They are. Like, hung out with them up in
Scott Sr., yeah.
And his parents. The whole family was there. They were tremendous.
They're a great hang. So,
very, very nice people.
Yeah. So, well, speaking of watching games up in the suite, which I know that this is the only way we do things here, right? I mean, we just watch, let the riffraff sit down in the seats.
Right.
But it is, to answer your question, I think your question was, are they done?
Is the season over?
I wouldn't say
definitively.
Should
we even bother watching?
I wouldn't say, you should definitely bother to listen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
To the gift that keeps on giving, Joe Castiglione.
His tone,
it's the best.
It really is.
And Andy, I've always said this, the example that I always use, you ran the marathon.
Yep.
And when you run the marathon, they're giving this, you can hear the radios as you're passing through yards and they're holding up. And so passing through, you hear the tone of Joe's voice. And in 2006, Seattle came back to tie in the ninth, and it was sad Joe running by. A mile later, Mark Loretta hits a walk-off. It was happy Joe. It was like, this was everything about Joe. I love it. But yes, you should keep on listening. They're still in it, but this is obviously the most uncomfortable it's been. And what's uncomfortable about it, I don't care how good a story it's been for the entirety of the year. I don't care what Netflix got. I don't care anything. Where you've landed, like, this is bad, man. This is bad because you're two games worse than you were at this time last year. This was right around the time where they really fell apart, too, last year. Remember, it was this day 365 days ago.
Is this the Bear Claw game?
It was coming up on the Bear Claw game.
All right.
Mookie Betts took over Fenway Park. The Dodgers,
right.
And this is another sort of microcosm of
Los Angeles took over Fenway Park.
But
in general,
look, Toronto fans were shouting, "Let's go Blue Jays!" drowning out anybody yesterday. It wasn't like the Los Angeles Dodgers thing.
Not a contender either.
I mean,
the Blue Jays have been out of it all year.
No, but you know what? They're in position there. I think they're two games back of the Red Sox, maybe three games back of the Red Sox. The Rays are two games back of the Red Sox.
The Red Sox are closer to the bottom of the AL East than they are to the third wild card.
The Tigers, this team, like, oh, man, you get the soft schedule. You get the Blue Jays and the Tigers. The Tigers are a game and a half back of the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
The point is that it's been, everyone says, this overachieving team, and it's been fun ride, and you bought it at the deadline. Yay. But still, at the end of the day, you're trending toward the same result that you had before. And there's different reasons for it. Alex Cora can talk about inexperience and these guys having been through this and whatever, pitching injuries and whatever it is. Whatever, it's a bottom line business. And I don't care about the future right now. I care about the fact is that you were in position to get into the playoffs. And if you get in the playoffs, you can win the World Series. And everything has fallen apart. And that really started, I think, number one, with not addressing the bullpen quick enough and properly enough, and then not addressing the starting rotation.
Yeah, they only addressed the bullpen. I mean, that's really all they did.
But they didn't.
Unless you like Paxton and Rich Hill.
Here's my thing.
Nope.
I love Rich Hill. And I love James Paxton. But it's
You like the pitching for
Rich Hill
for your team
Rich
and a
reliever. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. This is like Paul Byrd 2009 all over again.
Oh, good.
He got dropped in and throws six innings, three hits, no runs, off of the high school field at the end of August. Yay, Paul Byrd. Anyway, so it was, to me, if people say, well, where did it go wrong? What could they have done different? And I think that most people, I don't know what grades you guys gave at the deadline, like B-, C+, something like that, right? I think in hindsight, what they didn't do was, even though they didn't middle it like they middled it before, they still middled it. In other words, they didn't invest heavy into a Michael Kopech, into a AJ Puck, into a Jack Flaherty, mm-hmm. into a, even a Michael Lorenzen. Instead, yeah, you gave up a lot of guys who weren't going to be on your 40-man roster that you're going to lose anyway.
Reasonable deals.
Right, reasonable deals right. for guys who, let's be honest, have been terrible. Like, Lucas Sims hasn't been as bad as Luis Garcia. But Luis Garcia, this is like Eric Gagne all over again. It's been really, really bad. So, yeah.
So it doesn't seem like you want to address this, but Christian and I got into a pretty good fight earlier.
We did.
Disagreement.
Well, I don't mind addressing
in our first pro. Well, sure. I think you're going to be on his side based on the tone
oh,
of your first part of the answer.
Be on my side, yeah.
So there is no hint of this was already a successful season, so let's just enjoy the success we had.
No, because, again.
Thank you, Ruff.
It's where you.
Hardo.
If you land.
That's coming from him.
As much as. You know, I keep mentioning the Netflix thing, but it is sort of a great jumping off point because for the first up until, you know, through July, they say it was like, oh, Netflix, look, how lucky did they get? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
They turn the JUCO teams into something. They're going to turn this story. What a story this is. But now, number one, Netflix, we haven't seen in weeks.
Really?
It's kind of
they're
bizarre.
Like, yeah, we got enough.
Wait, the documentarian lost interest in the team they were
I hope you're really like spinning that spring training footage.
Yeah.
But
will they come back if they really nosedive and they're in last place and lose like 15
in
a row?
They'll come back. They've just drawn back, you know. I think, yeah, so anyway, there's theories for that. But anyway, they'll come back. My point is that, like I said at the beginning, which is it doesn't matter what the story was before. Where you land, if you land, how can you ever say this was a successful season if you land with a worse record than you did last year? Like, you can't. Like, I can say next year you have more optimism. Sure, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I think next
Gerard
year.
Gerard Mayo, we developed a foundation.
Yeah,
we developed talent. There is now reason for hope moving forward.
I would definitely take the future of the Red Sox next year over the future of the Patriots next year. There you go. There's a topic. You're welcome.
Okay. So, I'm writing that down.
Yeah.
We need Todd. It's a new show. We need all the help we can get here. I agree with you, though, Rob, because I feel like if you're not, you're just the Mariners. You know, the Mariners had young talent, and they had, you know, they were right there about the playoffs, and they just kept coming up a little bit short and saying, well, it's okay. Next year, you know, Julio Rodriguez is going to be this, and all these guys are going to develop, and that's going to be the new thing here in the AL West. And here we go again. It's the same story with them, it feels like. And I know that's just a random example, but there's lots of those examples of teams like that that get close, and they compete, and they give you, you know, 3 or 4 months, and then when it gets down to the dog days of August, all of a sudden they're gone. And for the Red Sox, that's been 3-4 straight seasons of this, not, you know, other than 2021. Like, even then they had a bad August. Like, this is an alarming trend that we're seeing.
The problem is that we come back to September. I know that, especially now the Patriots stink so bad, like, everyone was saying, what a gift this is. What a gift that we're going to be able to pay attention to this, and it's going to mean something in September. And now it's trending toward the exact same Septembers that you had before, which is might as well be non-existent. And so that's not what we were banking on. If you are in the position that they were in, much like last year when they were underdogs, quote-unquote underdogs, wearing the underdog T-shirt, Alex Cora, all of that, they were in a good position last year. They were game out at the trade deadline with a Blue Jay sitting right in front of them, and they fell apart. This year, you were a buyer at the deadline, you were in it, and if you fall apart, sorry, it's going to be this should be the same criticism and the same apathy. Well, it won't be the same apathy because you have these guys coming up, but still, the same narrative that it's a failed season.
Okay, so I turned my attention to those guys you just referenced coming up, the big three, but then it's four because Barry Bonds is part of the crew and the whole thing. Flip side of the marketing campaign, should I be concerned that the shortstop of the future and the guy who the whole earth is going to be on his shoulders has a lower back injury and is done for the season?
Yeah, I think that it's...
Is that a yeah?
Yeah, it's concerning because...
I don't like that.
It's concerning because that this guy of the big four or the big three, he was far and away the number one guy.
Yeah.
I don't think you're saying that anymore. And I think he's going to be a good major league player. He still had a good chunk of the season where he played and he was good, but you're talking about a draft now in 2021 where there's a lot of guys in that draft. Now they're making the major leagues.
Yeah, Cowser's killing you this year in Baltimore.
By the way,
you guys sharing talking points here in negativity.
At the top of the list, another high school shortstop who was drafted in that draft, Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
And so the problem is that his Marcelo Meyer, you got to give him a pass for the, for not having the Bobby Witt, Corey Seager timeline for a high school shortstop drafted in the top five because he had the year last year where it was lost. But this year, it was supposed to be, all right, you're ending this year, you're the shortstop next year.
Yes.
And I don't know if you can say that right now, Andy.
I don't feel like I can.
No, I don't.
I had that in my mind.
Yeah.
Right, Rafael was going to center. He's going to Durant to left.
If you're going to talk about those guys who are going to make, I mean, Christian Campbell has, I think
Barry
Christian
Bonds.
Campbell has passed. Yeah, Barry Bonds, yes.
Is he really Barry Bonds?
Christian
is he that
Bonds.
Good?
No.
If I've never seen him.
He's not that good.
But that's what they say, all his numbers.
Sure, great. Great.
Who's a bit of a wet blank. Hey, Mr. Baseball isn't boring.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be optimistic about the damn game and the damn team.
You know what makes baseball not boring? The great art of debate.
Okay, so let's flip the script then. If you don't want to be positive, if one of us happened to have taken the under on 79.5 wins to start the year, could the 67-win Red Sox still make me a winner?
67, yeah.
Is it possible they only win 12 games in the next 31?
I still think, as bad as it is now, you have to remember, even though they were two games ahead where they are now, their collapse in September last year.
September was ridiculous.
If I wanted to, could I root for that? September, it was September 2011, horrific. So it was, I don't think it's going to be like that. I actually think this team has shown, that's why I can't even say they're out of it right now. Because
the Red Sox were 8-19 in September last year.
Yeah.
So you're still
that'll
alive.
Get her
you're
done.
Still alive, Andy.
Yeah. That'll get her done.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Last year, at this time, we were said no way they could hit the over. Absolutely. And you know, I just think this team's a little bit different in that respect. I mean,
well,
they won't do that.
A lot of people have said that, you know, coming into this year, that my old co Adam Jones did different this year. Adam Jones.
Oh, I remember him.
Midday show.
Yeah,
Midday show.
Gotcha. It's actually Jones and Keefe.
Right.
He took his name with him.
I heard it was Keefe and Jones, but I don't know. It's a debate they're having, the embracing debate. But a lot of people, it wasn't just him. A lot of people were saying, no, this team's different this year. You know, it's a different thing. Alex Cora has been extended. Like, they've got a whole bunch of things to be optimistic about. Guys are surprising you. The pitching staff is way better than we all thought. People thought this year was going to be different. People thought this team was different. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing that happened last year. It's the same thing that happened the year before that. Like, is anything different?
Yeah,
like,
I do think that it is different. I think it's, number one, it's a more talented team across the board. And number two, I don't know how you measure it. I do think you have to give them some credit for being resilient. Like, I think that every time.
I was doing that up until this week.
Yeah, but every time we want to bury them, like, to this point, really, they've bounced back. A week ago, last Monday. After they lost in Houston, I'm like, they're done. They're done. And they bounced back and win the next two games.
They did.
And so, you know, this could happen.
Wasn't that supposed to be the bounce back yesterday? Wasn't that like
double-edged? Yeah, well, that's the problem is that you had this stretch. You have the five games against the lowly Blue Jays. And you have the Tigers coming up. So, but the problem is with this whole resiliency and bounce back is that you actually have to have the horses to do it. And why I think their mentality and their offense is good enough to do it, you can't keep having these outings, whether it's from starting pitchers or from the relief pitchers like this. It doesn't add up because the other team across from you, even the Blue Jays, even the Tigers, are going to be better than you.
Was this predictable?
No. Which, in what part?
See, I was one.
Like, when are we predicting?
That's probably a fair question. I was just one that was sort of skeptical and dubious of the sustainability of the team because I just thought there were a lot of guys that you're like, huh, can he keep doing that? I'm not sure. Can he keep doing that? I'm not sure. And I think we've gotten to the point. And even the lineup, it's like the pitching carries them early. Then we've flipped the script and it's like, well, we'll just be a softball team and outslug everybody. And I'm like, I don't think either is good enough to carry. And they hadn't shown a lot of, well, we'll just win traditional baseball style. It was like either had to rely on the pitching or rely on the hitting,
and now you have neither.
Right, now you got neither.
And you have to factor in the defense in that.
Yes.
Remember, the defense was terrible at the beginning. Everything was a starting pitcher.
Yep.
And the defense was terrible, and then it got better and got better and got better, and now all of a sudden it's the worst. And so there's nothing that's going right. So you ask if it's predictable. I think the thing is that you have young players who are going to go up and down. When you have that, this is why you pay for certainty. This is what I'm going to come back to. This is why in baseball, please listen, GMs, in the offseason, I understand why you lean into guys you think are going to be good, but you pay
for some certainty. And that's what you should do at the deadline. Pay for what you perceive to be certainty. Pay in offense for certainty, because these young players are going to go up and down. That's how it works. You know what? Like, Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin, we got to give Chaim Bloom credit. He paid for certainty.
Yep.
And can you imagine, as bad as their record was last year and whatever it is this year, where they would be without those two? So, yeah. So pay for – this is the lesson once again. Just pay for some certainty.
So go get Soto.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. $500 million. Just go ahead and do it. No problem. If they could go back, and if you think – if Craig Breslow could go back and do the deadline all over again, you know him obviously better than I do. What do you think you'd do differently?
I would hope that he would pay for certainty. I would hope that he would allocate more resources to get guys that you feel like are more of a sure thing.
Does that mean giving up on your big three?
No,
any one of your
you
big
still
three
don't
prospects?
Have to. No, you don't have to.
What if you did to get certainty?
Like, let's take the bullpen, right? So the bullpen, they got two guys, and you know we can't be hypocrites. Like, look, Luis Garcia, he's pitching the eighth inning, and
Sims.
Lucas Sims, he's pitching the eighth inning. Eh, sure. But they were both, you know, it was certainly – didn't have the upside of guys who are tearing it up right now, and Michael Kopech with the Dodgers, the guy who just came through with Arizona, AJ Puck. And yeah, you have to give up a little bit more. Yeah, you would have to give up something for Mike Lorenzen. You have to give up something for Jack Flaherty. And these are short-term rentals. I understand that. But at the same time, if I think the lesson to your answer your question, the lesson that Craig Breslow I would hope would learn is that if you are sincerely a buyer, do not be afraid to go to the expensive stuff.
Okay, I'm going to open the door to something I brought up a long time ago to you, Bradfo, because I know you talk to a lot of people. Baseball Isn't Boring brings you all over the country, all over the world, right?
I talked to Doug Stamper for the podcast tomorrow.
Okay.
The Doug Stamper?
Yeah.
Wow.
Who the hell is Doug Stamper?
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now.
No, he's from House of Cards, the actor from House of Cards. You ever watch House of Cards?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead.
I've seen
so,
that guy before.
I saw a report of an idea for baseball that I don't really want to get into.
Oh, this, okay.
The sixth inning.
Stupid.
Okay. See if this is less stupid.
Yeah. All right.
Just play seven innings.
I love the I've been a proponent of the seven.
Get rid of the middle relievers so I can go starter, closer. People will work counts differently. People will approach everything differently. I think seven-inning baseball.
Andy,
you want to say baseball isn't boring? Seven-inning baseball is not boring.
And Andy, we have proof of this, right? The doubleheaders were seven innings until they changed it. And that's what we were saying yesterday. Wasn't that great when there were seven-inning doubleheaders?
So why can't we do it?
Because, we should do it. Why they won't do it is because of revenue. That's why.
Is this beer sales again?
It's beer sales.
Is this freaking beer sales
again? By
the way,
I got to check in on the beer sales. I got to check in on that. The Matt Strom rant about beer sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to check. Like, are they? When
are they
stopping?
Forgot about that.
Yeah, when are they stopping? Did they move it to the 8th or the 9th? Can anyone?
I think it's still the 7th.
Is it?
I think so.
Well, it should be. I mean, this is like you can't.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was so hammered
at
the last game. I don't remember.
You did
so. Well, so it didn't bother you.
You didn't sober up for those two innings.
You still got to where you needed.
That's why I went up to the suite.
You know, but Andy, I think that to your point, and I've
still the seventh.
I love seven inning games
after the
and the one word is urgency. Like, this is what baseball has been trying to grab onto with all these rules is urgency in seven inning games. It's to your point. Those games are from minute one. I mean, they bunted in the first inning of a game once. So it's like that. I'm totally with it. Anything you can do for urgency, I think they've done a good job across the board. But you know, and that six inning starter thing is the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
All right, before we let you go here, Bradfo, and I agree with that. But before we let you go, does ownership care that the same thing's happening to this team another season? Is this going to influence their behavior in the off season, or is this
I do think so. I think that when Craig Breslow had said this isn't going to be predictive of off seasons going forward, I felt like that the ownership did say we had the John Henry 20%, 30% thing. That's how he felt. We know that's why he did things. I think now, where you have these young players coming up, you have these players a year older, this is going to be a talented team, that ownership isn't stupid enough to say, oh, no, we don't have a chance. They have a chance. They could land. Like, what do you think their over-under win total will be to start next year, if you had to guess?
I'd say 82, maybe. 82
I think it's higher than that.
I think so.
Probably higher. But I think
they're right there. Honestly,
what do they do?
I think as much as everyone's...
I don't know how they're going to finish this year.
No, no, but they're going to have... I mean, first of all, they have... I'm not going to go through the whole lineup, but it's like they're going to be better. They're going to have these young players. Some of them are going to be really, really, really good. And then you're going to allocate some resources, more so, I think, than you have in the past. So they're going to be better, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about, like, the here, the now, and how depressing this is.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
Very depressing. Yeah. Thank you very much, Rob Bradford, for making
baseball isn't boring. Yay. McFarland.
Baseball is depressing, but it's not boring, and we thank you very much. Rob Bradford here on the maiden voyage of WEEI Afternoons with myself, Christian Arcand, and Andy Hart.